Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ here with you. At 713-780-3776 after a weekend. Now, we got this is Holy Week here, right? We got Holy Week coming up here this week. Masters Week as well. It's Masters Week and Holy Week, which should be combined anyway.
That's what I was wondering if you were, like,
my Holy Week is Holy Week, yes.
Okay. I don't know if you meant, because I don't know if you called Masters Week
No,
Holy
they
week.
Just happen to be the same week, the same this year.
Yeah, so see, I just wanted some clarity on that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were saying it's Holy Week, which is starts Masters. On Thursday with the first round.
Well, no, Holy Thursday is not. It's not always the first round of the Masters. It just turned out that way this year, which is a good thing, which is great, which is
Holy
awesome.
Week. Holy happens week. To be Thursday of the Masters.
Thursday of the Masters, yeah. And then Good Friday, and then Moving Day, which, I mean, I guess. Jesus and Saturday at Augusta is Moving Day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could say.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a lot of correlation there.
No.
I mean, John, I have seen people skim water on those par three things.
They walk their ball on water.
Right, yeah, I've seen that before, and it turned into a hole-in-one, which was a miracle, in my opinion.
Well, in golf, Saturdays are moving days, and, Jesus.
What does that mean, moving days?
Moving day is when the leaderboard changes, moving day.
What do you mean?
You gotta move up. It's moving day. It is when the leaderboard, I mean, you got to make your push to win the tournament on Saturday.
That. I didn't know that was a term.
That's moving day, yeah.
Moving day, see?
Yeah.
I learned a new golf term. We have different terms in every sport.
Right.
That's a good one. That's a good one to know. Yeah.
I don't know if there's any correlation between Friday being cut day for Holy Friday being cut day for Jesus.
I may say that next time. I'm going to use that next year during the combine. This today's moving day where you change your spot on the board.
Well, that's probably the day they run the 40s.
It's true.
It's moving when corners.
Day. They do everything in the same day. So good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Although more and more guys aren't doing three cones.
What do they do on the Saturday of combine?
Well, it's position group. So, like, if you're on Thursday, you know, it's kind of changed. It used to be offensive linemen always let off. So, Thursday might be
DBs.
Running backs and
and
linebackers. So, and then they're done, and next day DBs and, edge. And so, every position group has their whole day. They do it.
You can't have a moving day because everybody does the same thing.
No, it's moving day at their position group.
At their position group. Right. Well, okay, try not to incorporate all, just because you're trying to appropriate golf, don't.
I'm going to culturally appropriate.
Because your sport, your little combine thing has nothing to do with the greatest tournament in the world and the greatest event ever, Jesus rising from the dead.
Too late. I'm already going to use moving day.
So,
I'm going to appropriate your culture.
Yeah, the greatest event that ever happened. Anyway, what a weekend it was. You and I were just talking about the game. I didn't watch the whole game. I got home and I wanted to watch the end.
So you're saying
I was
game.
At the Astros game.
You called it the game.
It was the game. Caitlin Clark against LSU.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Iowa. It was Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, it was Caitlin Clark against
LSU. It was Caitlin Clark after she beat South Carolina in on Friday, which was awesome, unbelievable.
41 in that one, back to back 40-point games.
Just, you know, she is just so good. Then to see, and they were a favorite going into that game, a
3-point favorite.
Holy crap! LSU dismantled. LSU was fantastic. 64% from three. You were not going to. Did you see Caitlin Clark and that South Carolina girl standing on the 3-point line? And Caitlin Clark just goes, "Go." Take the shot.
Yeah.
And she actually waved her hand at her.
She was trying to bait her. Well, that's what kind of started a lot of this. LSU thought that was disrespectful.
Yeah.
So they said they were going to punish her for her disrespect. And that was a comment that was made by, I think Angel Reese said that, but I'm not.
And Alexis Morris.
It was Alexis Morris. Yeah, they're going to punish her for her disrespect. That's right.
Yeah.
Because of what she did there, basically baiting her to shoot, which is. Nothing wrong with that. You want the
well, but you want the way the worst she person. Backed off, and she actually went below the free throw line.
Yeah,
and she just and actually she went she waved her hand at her like shoot it, let's go.
Yeah,
shoot it. Go and
on. You're
and,
in the middle and, of the game. That's no big deal. You either get baited into it or you don't. It's like it's no different than when a fighter sticks his face out, drops his gloves, and dares you to punch him. It's we'll get on. In
well,
all
is
this,
that a little disrespectful though to the other fighter? It is. It's somewhat disrespectful.
Yeah, you. But
because you ain't scared. I ain't scared of you. Go ahead. Take that shot. YouTube. Either way, take your shot.
Oh, yeah. No, it's telling you we don't think you can
we
make
it. We don't think you can make it.
We don't think. I don't think you can hit me, hurt me. And right. We don't think you can make it. That's.
I don't think you can hurt me with that three. I don't think you can hurt me with that punch. It is. There's a level of disrespect there.
Yeah, I think. Well, I think in every sport, there's some of that. If you can find it in some of that. Like, I'm trying to think of what baseball it would be. It's maybe when the guy sits there. At 3-0 with his bat, you know, on his shoulder, like I'm not swinging, you know. It's a little extra
in football.
It's a little extra. You could back off without doing the
hand football. Thing. Maybe you put 10 in the box and you say, "Come on, Rex Grossman, beat me with a deep ball." Whatever.
Yeah,
we don't believe
that's
you
a schematic kind of a schematic. That's not one that's visceral necessarily, but you know, we see, you know. Making a shot and staring at, but there's things of there's different things of quote unquote disrespect.
Great job with LeBron the other day.
Yeah,
saying you're small.
Yeah, yeah, doing that stuff. That's all. You know, that happens a lot more in basketball now than we used to see.
And
in baseball, sometime in baseball too. Although you don't see pitchers do it as much, but Lima, people like baseball players thought Lima was way out of line. With the stuff he would do after strikeouts, they thought that was, you know, baseball's the original getting shown up sport.
Yeah, no.
Right? That's the original.
But this is I dare you. This is I dare you.
Yeah.
And there was a level of it that was, and then afterwards, Angel Reese with the I can't see you, John Cena thing with rings.
I want to make sure that everyone understands. So the ring thing, they have been doing this in the tournament. This is they had a. I was reading about it. Angel Reese. They drew a ring on her finger.
Yeah.
In the game, the previous game, and there was a comment made by an assistant coach about something about the rings. You play for the rings, and so the ring thing has been a thing for LSU. It's been going on. It's been ongoing. The John Cena thing was in respect to something that Caitlin Clark had done against Louisville, but that was the context of that is. Remember the girl who got into it with Texas?
Yeah.
That girl had been going at it and trash-talking and doing that. And so Caitlin did that back to her. I think it was during a timeout. And so a lot of people are using that like, see, look how disrespectful Caitlin Clark is. You're not seeing anything there. This, if you haven't seen it yet, I want to make sure that we get this straight. I couldn't wait to watch that game because of Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark stuff, I had heard about it, and then I watched some of the semifinal game, like, whoa, she can shoot the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait to see that game because I wanted to see, it's like that in any sport. When you have somebody that's really special in anything, you want to see it. You want to see, like, that's how Tiger
Absolutely.
Woods was.
Yeah.
So I tuned in, and what I saw was, I was amazed by LSU also. I was amazed by Caitlin Clark. She's really good. I mean, the passing... The shooting, but I was amazed by LSU also. They shot so well. They were such a good team. They rebounded well. It was a good game. It was a good product. And Caitlin Clark brought me there. Caitlin Clark brought all the eyes on there. She's the one that added to the purse if this were golf.
Absolutely. Yeah.
People benefited from Caitlin Clark without question.
No, this whole the whole tournament did.
The women's game did. But once you got there, I appreciated what I saw from LSU, man. I was really impressed with LSU's team. Really, I thought the Kim Mulkey storyline, the way how emotional she was. And look, as somebody who played a lot of ball, pickup ball and stuff like that, and you and I have been around sports for a long time, Angel Reese, I thought, crossed the line when she kept doing it in her face once the game was really over.
Yeah, I thought you might be a little bit, but
more over, but just trying to do it over and over and over.
Listen, they felt a level of disrespect, though, that...
Well, there was a chip on their... I think they put a chip on their own shoulders.
But at some point, I'm not going to tell Angel Reese how to act, but at some point you go pat her on the back, hey, good game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. At the end of a fight, you can sell a fight, but guys, before boxing matches and UFC fights... But once the combat's over, it usually, like, there's a level of
respect. But did you notice that one LSU player was in the congratulations line?
No, I saw that.
Not one.
I thought that was a little unfortunate.
Yeah, get in the line and congratulate your
player. I mean, and I kept watching because I'm like, okay, you got to let them celebrate. You got to let them celebrate. And I don't know if it was intentional because I think they were in the middle of celebrating. And then eventually they just never did, which I thought was, you know, I just thought it was a little bit unfortunate that at the end of all this, because I wanted to see that. Like, I'm used to this. You do combat, and whatever's happening, and you're intense, and that stuff happens in the middle of it.
At the end,
I'm cool
hands.
With all that. Yep. And at the end, there's like, you know, man, great job, where there's a level of respect. That's all. But I'm not going to – I really don't want to blow this out of proportion. I mean, I thought Angel Reese went a little extra with it, but I'm not going to demonize her. I mean, I think after she's done playing, when she has time to relax, she may be like, you know what, I probably should have just, you know, told her good game.
I doubt it. Afterwards, she doubled down on it. I mean, she was in the post game interview at the desk. She was like, "Nuh-uh, that girl, she disrespected us, and I'm not having it." And so she was, you know what? Hey, those two are going to be meeting up in the WNBA, so it'll be fun to watch.
So here's something I thought was a little strange, and I think this happens sometimes. I heard what Dawn Staley had to say, where Dawn Staley was upset about how she thinks people perceive her team and what's being said about her team. And then this is what Angel Reese said. So this is for she said, all year I was critiqued for who I was. I don't fit the narrative. I don't fit the box that y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year. When other people do it, and y'all don't say anything. So this is for the girls that look like me, for those that want to speak up for what they believe in. It's unapologetically you. And that's what I did before tonight. It was bigger than me tonight, and Twitter is going to go into a rage every time. And I don't care about Twitter. Twitter thinks everything is their business. Typically, something that happens between two people who play, there's commentary about it, and that's it. And frankly, it's between LSU and Iowa. But Twitter thinks everything's there. We think everything's our business in society.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, who is telling her she's too hood and too ghetto? I'm not around women's basketball, so I doubt anyone says publicly you would be fired if you said, you know, Angel Reese, she's very hood and very ghetto.
Right.
Okay, you're fired.
Yeah.
And then
we'll move on to the next one.
So
no, but there was a guy on Twitter who broke down the Louisville girl, Caitlin Clark, and Angel Reese,
mm-hmm.
and how the announcers reacted to each of them getting technicals or some of their antics on the floor, and it was a black guy, and there was and black Twitter all chimed in and everything else. There was a bias against Angel Reese more so than the other girls.
Jay Williams used the term. No, it was Chris Canty used the term, and I think that there is, you know, sometime I think white people get very sensitive about it, and sometimes I think black people get very sensitive about it. And you can't just – you're so sensitive that you can't just relax and have conversations about narratives and biases and things. But I do think, I mean, realistically, if you're really being real about it in the history of my life, there's obviously times – I think sometimes people read into things that aren't there a lot when it comes to racial bias right now, especially
Angel
Reese maybe. But I also do think, yes, there is sometimes, without question, if you're being honest about it, where there is going to be some demonization of players because there's maybe a natural bias that you have, and there's maybe something inside you that, you know, I for me, I keep it between the lines. Like, I just think that inside the lines of competitive spirit, there's stuff that's said, there's stuff that's done, and it happens. And it's not, and you shouldn't read too much in. I mean, you need to play the game inside the context of how it's supposed to be played. But there's a competitive spirit that leads to things happening. I remember, like, I couldn't believe that Magic Johnson or Dr. J and Larry Bird got into a fight on the. I'm like, what? How is this happening? Like, swinging on each other, a fight.
Yeah.
Now, today it would have turned into a race war.
Yeah, right.
Because of Twitter. Back then it was just like, man, these are too competitive.
And listen, I'm looking forward
to. And Larry Bird's one of the all time trash talkers.
I'm looking forward to Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. That'll be something.
Although Caitlin's coming back.
Yeah, well, but I mean, she'll be in the WNBA someday.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see. And that'll be the first time I'll be interested in the WNBA since the comics.
Maybe. I know. I mean, listen, if you told me these two teams were playing again today, I'm locking in.
Yeah.
If you told me LSU and Iowa were playing again, I'm locking in. Caitlin Clark brought me to basketball, brought me to the women's tournament. And when I got there, I was like, ooh, look at LSU. Yeah. And Kim Mulkey was great. And, you know, there's other things, like no one's talking about the
we got to break it here.
Penalties.
Constance Mayhem brings up a good point. It was really poorly officiated.
It was horrible. That's what should be the talking point is Caitlin Clark got in foul trouble. Everyone got in foul trouble because the officiating was atrocious.
All right, we got to take a break. Well, you and I both have to talk about, speaking of not atrocious, it is atrocious if you have any issue whatsoever with water leaks, if you need a plumber. How about if your water pressure isn't great? How about if you're hearing, you turn the water on and you hear boom, 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 and that's not good. This is something that you need to get looked at if you have pipes that are banging while you turn your water on. If you're not getting great water flow, it could be that you got a lot of sediment in your tank, and even your tankless water heaters. There's a lot of sediment built up. There are all kinds of stuff. And there's all kinds of preventive stuff that you could do as well, which when they come to your house, they could tell you, hey, this is a real possibility for you.
Well, hydrostatic testing is really a big deal because it finds out if you have a leak. And so that's one of the things. If you think you might have a leak, you really need to do it. If you think there's water under your slab or getting through your slab, that was an issue that ruined my entire floor and cost me a bunch of money. And Aqueduct Plumbing Company, I wish I would have known about them then, but I'm telling you about them now. 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. You can go to the website, aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Well, let's see what Gilbert thought of all this. Gilbert's on hold right now, and I want to see what went down on the weekend for Gilbert and see what he thought about that championship game. What do you say, Gilbert? Gilbert, are you there? Yeah, apparently Gilbert's sleeping. Gilbert called and fell asleep. Gilbert, are you? Let's turn up Gilbert. Let's see if we can hear him snoring. Oh, you hung up on him? You don't hang up on Gilbert. We hear him snore. We don't hang up on Gilbert ever. We like to hear him snore. Hi, Melissa. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you would like to get in here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, what did you think of? Okay, we got two things. Somebody said, okay, can we talk about sports? Or Art said, can we talk about sports now? We were talking about sports. We were talking about the ladies' final, okay? That was sports. Now, let's talk about the men's final. I was rooting for FAU. I wanted that story.
I was too, and the way that they played, everything about them, I was too.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great story. I think once you're there, I mean, you're going to have one of those Cinderella teams in there anyway. You know, it was a great game. It was a really good game.
It was.
There's been some, you know, big-name teams in there, better-name teams who've given us some terrible games. That was a good game. That was back and forth.
A buzzer beater? I mean.
Well, I mean, that was the only time they led in a game since the first, I think, early in the first half.
Yeah. FAU. Oh, how disappointing is that when you've got that kind of lead and you just let it slip away the way they did?
Three late, and I'm trying to think if they could have done anything different. Jonnell Davis could have waited maybe a few extra seconds and then shot a really high shot and hope it clanged off the rim really high to eat up more time. Like, I don't know what else you could do. And then, there's nothing really you could do. Jonnell Davis went to the basket. They defended it, and they went down and made a shot. I mean, it was just, San Diego State. It was just It was a really good game. UConn was not a really good game, but what UConn was a dominant team. Like, right now, UConn feels like they're going to smash San Diego State. UConn feels like what they've been doing to teams, what they did to Gonzaga, what they did to Miami, they feel like a team right now. The two bigs, boy, when we had on Steve Lapis on Thursday and then Bob Huggins on Friday, one's a coach now. Both of them talked about the double bigs that they have, the two bigs.
Yeah.
And, man, in the college game, it is such a major, major factor. Those guys just were dominating. Miami couldn't do anything about it. But, my gosh, can they shoot the ball? I mean, they're no LSU women's team from three, but they can really shoot it. Nobody's LSU's women's team shooting the three.
Holy crap, they can shoot it.
But, man, UConn can really shoot it, too. And they play fast. And it's kind of like watching a college football team that played up-tempo. They just start getting, like, you can't have a stretch where you play poorly like Gonzaga did or you get rolled. You just get rolled. Their tempo is so fast and they can shoot from three that they're going to get more shots up and you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
If you don't find a way. You're going to have to defend. Like, the only way San Diego State's going to win. Now, but John, San Diego State also is one of the best three-point shooting defenses you're going to find in college basketball.
Yeah.
So you've got that going for you, but UConn gets it in transition a lot, like in early offense. So it's a little different than half court sets. So
how do you stop? Because you got Hawkins and you got Sanogo, you got the Klingon. I mean, you got so many. You can't stop. If you stop them outside, then they'll just dump it down inside. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
How Connecticut lost, how they went through a lull earlier this year. They were fantastic early, and then they went through a lull, and now this is where they are, and they ended up a 5 seed. How is this team a 5 seed?
Right.
I mean, goodness gracious. Just like LSU was a 3 seed in that, and they looked.
Wait, is UConn a 4 or a 5?
A 4 seed.
UConn's a
4 seed.
Because
yeah.
Gonzaga was a 3.
San Diego State's a 5 seed.
Yeah, but how are you a 4?
How are you a 4?
You're 13, 14, 15,
been,
or 16.
Without question, going into that game Saturday, they had won all their tournament games by an average of 22 points.
Right.
22!
I mean, they're
average margin of victory.
Punishing teams right now.
Holy crap, they're good. It would be, and so I'm rooting for San Diego State tonight. I would love to see. Did you see San Diego, the Padres game?
That was great.
The reaction?
Yeah, they were, and that's one of those things. It'd be like if you're at an Astros game and the Cougars won on a buzzer beater or whatever. It was up on the screen, though, for them to all see.
They were showing, while the Rockies were being introduced for opening day, the place is just going crazy because they had just hit the buzzer beater to win the game. So that'll be fun. Listen, San Diego State is a huge dog. So this is
last I saw was 7.5. Let me see what it is. Still 7.5.
Is that enough?
I don't feel like it's enough. I think they're going to win. I think this is going to be a bad game midway through the second.
Yeah.
I say bad game, I think they're just going to roll them.
UConn is just so good. Just so, so good. Let's get some people who I can't see what that name is. And what is it?
Yeah, our screen is
screen
too big.
We may need to minimize
it a little bit.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah,
TJ, there we go. You got to straighten it. Yeah, there we go. TJ, what's going on, TJ?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, TJ?
I was at the Final Four.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I went. My wife, my birthday coming up, my wife got tickets for me. She was kind of pissed because it was two guys behind us. They got the same. I was in section 126, and they waited. They got tickets. He got two tickets for like $150, and she was pissed. I don't know how much she paid, but she was real mad. They got a better deal than she got. But I just had a quick question for you. I know you guys are related on the sports. When did UConn get all these fans in Houston, man? I mean, it was UConn was the dominant crowd. Who else was San Diego State was the smallest crowd. Miami was second to the smallest. And FAU, they were right up there. But UConn, I mean, man, it was dominant UConn fans. There was one lady next to me. She was rooting for Miami, but she was like, I'm kind of scared because these Huskies fans are crazy. Do that many people live here from Connecticut?
Feel like it. They must have traveled. I wouldn't have thought they would have taken over, but I would have thought they would have had the best fan base because Miami's a small private school, but there's a lot of people who are Miami fans. San Diego State, I did not expect to travel well. FAU, I didn't know what to expect from FAU. So none of those, I would think that UConn would be the best, but I had no idea they took over like that. That's interesting. And maybe because the tickets, you started to be able to get the tickets a little cheaper, maybe more of them made the trip than they might have otherwise made the trip. Maybe also because they feel like, oh, we got this. We're making a trip for this one. I'm going to go watch my team win a national championship.
Because they're the heavy favorite. And you know, I mean, everybody from UConn probably came out of the woodwork and said, we got to be a part of this. And it hasn't happened in a little while. I mean, UConn, they love Houston. They love coming down here and mm-hmm. taking care of business. And you know what? You're up in Connecticut. You know, get down to Houston and support your team. Yeah, I could certainly see that. It is going to be predominantly. Listen, FAU, San Diego State.
My man got some good seats.
Yeah.
126 is legit.
No.
They're going for $641 a piece.
Hey, all of you on here, all of you on Twitter that are saying, oh, let's talk about real sports. Guess what? That other sport, that women's sport, that was a much tougher ticket than the men's ticket. A much tougher ticket. Mm-hmm. It started at 200 plus. You're getting down in the 128 for over $100. I mean, it was a much tougher ticket. Of course, it was 17,000 seats.
Online, it looks like it's more, but I bet you in person, if you buy tickets in the street there.
No, online it was too. Well, at Vivid, it was much cheaper to get into the men's game than it was the women's game.
Well, I'm looking right now at section 126 on SeatGeek, and I'd look at Simple Seats, but they don't have it for this one.
Well, there's only two teams left now. I'm talking about before the Final Four started.
Well, there's still a billion. Yeah. Right now, it shouldn't. I'm telling you, these prices you see online are not the prices you're going to pay. There's going to be a lot of seats open for very cheap. I would think at the event and on the
What
the
are
seat
those
things,
seats right now?
Like on section 126, it's $641 what they're asking
for. No, that's not going
to. No chance. That was the same section that he said they got $100 in. So this is just somebody who's not moving off their price.
That's all.
It'll come down.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll come way down.
It's what it sells for, not what you're asking.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, the women's game, going into the Final Four, the women's ticket was a much tougher ticket. Of course, it was 17,000 seats versus 70, so there's a big difference there. That makes a little bit of a difference. All right, 729, still ahead, 15 minutes from now. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? What did you learn this weekend in one sentence?
Are we going to get to the Astros beginning their whole season?
We're going to do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about Artis and Grange. We're talking about the Canstead and the Dublin. Bob Huggins was in studio. He's a huge proponent of you not chewing tobacco. My buddy went to the game yesterday with my buddy, and he gets a cup, and he's spitting in the cup the whole game. And I'm like, goodness gracious, can you just let me get you some of this. What flavor do you like? Because I can get you that flavor. Do you like tobacco? Do you like the taste of tobacco? Because we can get that, and yet it's not tobacco. And you don't have to spit because it's got CBD oil. My solution has CBD oil. It's not something you have to spit out because you'll kill yourself if you swallow all of that long cut and all that crap that you guys chew. Listen, if you're looking to get out of a horrible habit, which is chewing tobacco, and you want to wean yourself from, yet you still want the sensation, you still want that feeling, you still want something between your cheek and gum, you still want that flavor, you got it all. All you have to do is go to 975dip.com. Get it, make it, do it healthier. Do it. Go to 975dip. Get off that chew and get into 975dip.com.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I'm just looking through some. I always try to find news of the weird stuff throughout the show so that I can we can bring it. Here's one. Martha Stewart confirms plans to post more thirst traps.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what I was hoping
She's
for.
She's gearing up for a sexy summer.
Nice.
Martha Stewart, thirst traps.
She would gear up for a sexy summer.
Isn't it a... Is Martha Stewart really going to make you thirsty?
No.
Yeah. I mean, that's a...
Her thirst traps are like really well-done buffets that have...
Yeah. Now, that for you, yeah. Like, you like looking at food.
Oh, look, it's like that, and, you know, but the buffet, the
you were showing
whatever.
Me food before. That's like porn, food like porn
the,
for you.
Well, no. The piece that Wendy would like, a buffet, it's a piece of furniture.
Oh, a duvet?
No, it's called a buffet.
Oh.
It's that you can put, yeah, it's like a, I don't know, it's one of those pieces. She could dress it up real nice and then have food on it too.
Yeah.
But it's called a buffet. I've heard this before.
Oh.
Ask Wendy about it.
Yeah.
She'll know.
Are you sure it's called a buffet?
She's bought one. Yeah.
Or something else.
No, I'm not. You're talking about the one that's in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Here. That's. This is what a buffet looks like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've got one of those.
Yeah, you have at least one.
Yeah, we got. I think we got more than one of those.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't know that it was called a buffet because I would have said, hey, I'm hungry. Listen, the Astros, they look meh right now. It's a very meh team. In large part,
it's a very meh team.
It's a meh team.
We're one series in.
I know. But, yeah, and they're going to be really, really good. Somebody made a point. It's really difficult. It's not a good offensive team if you don't have Altuve, if you don't have Bregman, if you don't have Brantley, if you don't have Yordan. You know, you don't have any of those guys in the lineup. It is, even when you do have Bregman in the lineup right now, it's not good. It's not good.
When does Bregman ever start?
He's historically.
It's unbelievable.
The pitching has been, the hitting has been, man, if it wasn't for Tucker and Yordan, you'd have zero wins right now.
Yeah.
Zero.
It's late game heroics.
Yes.
I mean, let's face it, if you didn't have the last third of the game having those two guys take over, and it's those two guys.
Those two guys. That's it.
It was a really, you're right, and the starting pitching was just okay. Relievers were fine. It was a couple bumpy. I mean, you know, obviously we know what happened Thursday with Presley and who was it the other day that gave up runs? Well, you gave up some yesterday, but it was
Garcia didn't look good. Urquidy didn't look good.
No,
it's not. Javier was he didn't look good either. If you want
Javier
to
gave him more hits than usual.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, that
he didn't
dude
even
is,
get a no hitter or a two hitter.
That dude is a batting average against King. He's a giant, and he wasn't very good either. So it was a mad weekend. That's all. That's the only way to describe it. But that's, you know what? It was better than a 1-3. I thought it would be like a 1-3 start, if you want to know the truth, because the Astros start slowly. Bregman starts slowly. There's no Altuve. There's no Brantley. This is going to be a totally different team. And it was just, you know what? Yordan came through and Tucker came through. Otherwise, you don't have much to talk about. You do have to, you know, listen, Dusty, if I'm Garcia and Dusty posted that lineup in the locker room before the game, I'd say, really? Mm-hmm. This is Yordan, you know, three games in, we've got to give him a day off. But they're really, listen, I think they're going to deal with Yordan with kit gloves this year. They do not want that dude to have hand problems the entire season where he's all of a sudden, he goes into an 0-for-16 because his hands are killing him. So, yeah, I think we can expect a lot more of this where Yordan is going to get a lot more days off than we would like. It's. I think it's just going to be a reality. I think that's what it's just going to. Listen, we're three games in and he gave him the day off.
Load manage him.
We're three games in and he gave him the day off. So,
if the hand, look, he didn't, where was he all spring? He just may not be ready. You know, they're probably being very careful with him.
Did you see how he hit? He looked like he's ready. He's
no, fine. I know, but maybe they're being very careful with him.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all. You know, I'd like for him to play 148 games a year And that's even 14 games off.
Yeah.
It used to be, look, one, like, you, the norm used to be just playing your sport,
right,
playing in the games.
Right.
Like baseball, and that's a long, and I'm not sure that's the right thing necessarily. I'm just telling you. You know, I think basketball, and we'll get to the basketball stuff because there's a new CBA that came together, and there's some things we need to talk about in it. But, you know, baseball probably, it's a long, long season. If you're a good team, there probably is, and I think Greg Popovich had it right. He had an old team, and it was, you know, it made sense for him to rest some of the older guys when it was Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Tim Duncan. That made sense. So I don't think, you know, I think the question is going to be, how much is, like, what's the rest? I don't think the Astros care. The Astros, the eyes are so far on the prize,
yeah,
of the World Series. I don't think they care one single bit about if Yordan gets the certain amount of games or whatever the case may be. They're going to play in a getaway game. We used to see getaway game on Sunday. It's not unusual.
Yeah,
for
but
players
that's what you played a whole week already.
When you're traveling,
this was
when
3 days in. This was just 3 days into the season. It's a little bit different. In that, you know, he had played, you know, normally you'll play the 6 days and you get the seventh.
Well, this is going to happen with Altuve, probably not Bregman so much, but this will
Bradley.
Happen, not Tucker so much, but Altuve's going to get it, and I guess Yordan's going to get it.
And Brantley's going to get it.
Well, of course, Brantley, yeah. I mean, he's going to be sharing that position some with Yordan anyway.
Yeah. Well, and he'll get days off I thought for sure, well, it's every single time. Two outs, runner on second, Maldonado steps up to the plate. It just seems like it's every time. Now, he did come up with a base hit late. I thought, you know, but then it was Peña's turn. I thought if late in the game, you know, they get a runner in scoring position or even a runner on, you bring in Yordan, mm-hmm, and let Yordan pinch hit. And certainly if there was a runner on second, they would just walk Yordan. I was thinking, they'll probably even just walk Yordan if there's a runner on first, and just, you know, we ain't dealing
just
with this.
Just avoid him?
They won't.
It's the smart move.
No, they
teams
might.
Teams don't do it, though.
They might. They might do that. If a runner on first, no, we'll move up a runner in scoring position.
Seattle didn't do it.
With a two-run lead, we'll do that. Well, Seattle's stupid. See what happened to Seattle? How'd that taste, Seattle? Philadelphia's stupid. They pitch to him. What does he do? He hits it up into the center field beer garden. I mean, so, you're stupid if you pitch to him. I thought we might see him in a late heroic situation, but there was none of that. Actually, did you see Sandoval?
Mm-hmm.
He's wee now. He, for a catcher, he is little. So, and he's
Kyler Sandoval?
Yeah. He's not Kyler, but I was like, wow, that's Sandoval?
What's wrong with that?
Well, nothing. I mean, well,
had some little catchers in the past. Not a lot, but J.R. Tolles wasn't a big guy.
No, J.R. Tolles wasn't. No. Oh,
J.R. Tolles was fairly
Stubbs
wee.
Stubbs was a little guy.
Yeah, Stubbs is.
Yeah.
Stubbs.
No, he's in that neighborhood.
He was Kyler Stubbs.
Yeah, yeah. No question. He was in that neighborhood. So, it was you know what? I'm not going to get nuts. They're 2-2. I would have loved to have been 3-1 against the White Sox, but
you got a lot of games.
I think there's some games.
158
left.
More to go.
There's some games left, so we're going to take it easy. They didn't look good. The description of the Astros so far is meh. That's all.
We're so spoiled.
We are spoiled. We 2-2.
You're spoiled.
But look at the Rangers. Are you not worried? They're 3-0.
No. Well, they scored a crap load of runs.
Yeah, they did, and they got pitching too. So they beat the snot out of the defending.
Who
National
are you more afraid
champs.
Of now, the Rangers or the Mariners?
Well, you know what? Look at with DeGrom. You know that dude. He's nothing but healthy. He's going to be there all season long. Just going to be dominating all year long.
I'm telling you, the over-under for the Astros everyone got better. The Astros didn't get better. They kind of stayed the same.
Well,
you hope they stayed
Abreu?
The same. Well, but you lost Verlander.
You
That's
lost
a big
Verlander
deal.
And picked
That's
up
a big deal.
Abreu looks okay hope, already.
Well, then we have to hope.
Getting a lot of base hits.
Yeah, and then you have to hope the bullpen is as good as last year, which my guess is it won't be. That's the nature of bullpens.
Yeah.
They fluctuate. There's no guarantee the Astros are even the best team in the division. We're the big favorite, but I'm not freaking out. I mean,
listen, the Astros are going to win the division. There's no question.
Let's get Altuve back. Let's get the starting pitching is going to get rolling.
You're going to have four.
It's going to be fine, but we do know every year there's something that's going to be different. Like one guy, who could have predicted Yuli would have that terrible season last year coming off a batting championship? You just can't predict that stuff.
All right, we're going to, okay, right now it's time to play What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? So there was something that you learned.
It's a game that's sweeping the nation.
It doesn't. It absolutely is. But it doesn't have to be about sports. It could be about anything that you learned this weekend. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? 713-780-3776. We'll have to get Gilbert later. I'll have to hang up. Tell Gilbert he can call back later.
And I'd love for him to play this game. The problem would be I don't know.
Having clarity in one sentence.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen.
I don't think that would happen. Hey? Yeah, I don't think he would get that. 713-780-3776. What'd you learn this weekend in one sentence? When we come back, right now, a little Q and C.
QC Kinetics is the company who is helping so many people get back to having a pain-free life, having a more active life. It's the spring. We're in the middle of it. You know, it'll be summer before you know it. But this is a time to be outside, and it's a time to be outside and be active. Go do the things that you like to do outside, whether it's riding a bicycle, walking, running, playing golf, whatever it is that you do. QC Kinetics wants you to get back to it. If you have chronic pain in your shoulder, your hip, your knee, these issues are because of damaged or missing tissue. You know, a lot of times tissue just gets worn away. Did you know QC Kinetics can regenerate and restore damaged tissue? Regenerate and restore damaged tissue. Regenerative medicine is the biggest, and regenerative therapies, I should say, is the biggest thing going today, because what QC Kinetics does is it takes the body's healing power, it kind of supercharges it, puts it back into the joints, and the difference is your pain levels go down very quickly. How would you like to live a more pain-free existence without the drugs, the downtime of surgery, or even getting the shots that you have to get to try to help you temporarily? That's what QC Kinetics can do for you. 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285. That's QC Kinetics.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to play the game show Sweeping the Nation. What did you learn this weekend in one sentence? So as soon as somebody gets off, we got a full board. As soon as somebody gets off, you get in. It's 713-780-3776. You guys are fantastic at this. You got one sentence to tell us something that you learned this weekend. First up is Ocho. ¿Qué pasó, Ocho?
Yeah, I want to preface this one by saying this one blew me away, but I learned that not only did Tony Gwynn play college basketball, but he is the all-time assist leader for San Diego State.
I knew he played college basketball. I didn't know he was the all-time assist leader.
Wow.
Tony Gwynn was a college basketball player, yeah.
Doesn't look like the body for a college basketball player.
Not when he was playing, yeah. Thoughts and prayers. I mean, shout out to RIP Tony Gwynn. But, he was a basketball player. Here, I'll try to pull up. No, he did not have a basketball body
for
much of his baseball career.
No, he did. He certainly did not. Who's next? Underrated mess. What'd you learn this week in one sentence?
I learned that Seth freaking Rollins has so much drip that even Laramie Tunsil will be envious. Oh, and another plumber won a PGA Tour event.
Another plumber won a PGA Tour event. He tried to get two things in.
Okay.
He tried to get two things in.
Connors is not a plumber. He's a really good player. Okay, so stop. Stop. Connors is a really good player. And they didn't have a best of fields, let's say. He doesn't look like Tony Gwynn at all right there.
No.
No. They didn't have the best of fields, seeing as how, like, nobody played because it's Masters Week. It's Holy Week and Masters Week at the same time. So.
And Seth Rollins, his drip. Yeah, that's a WWE thing that he's talking about.
I don't know what that means.
Did you watch it, RJ?
I saw the results, but yeah, Seth Rollins, since he's gone this heel route, got the drip.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Laramie Tunsil will be empties. Let's go. Jimmy, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
I learned that I could be a crappy neighbor, too, when my neighbor wouldn't stop throwing his dog crap over into my yard. So I figured I wouldn't stop his 8-year-old from touching fuzzy caterpillars on his tree.
Those are called asps, and they hurt a lot.
Yeah, they do.
They hurt a lot. Wow, do they hurt.
The sticky things?
The caterpillars that you touch? Yeah. Those things that are their tree, I think they're called asps. It stings.
Does it really?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
We get them here in Houston. You do not want to touch them.
What kind of neighbor throws his dog crap into your yard?
These are the stories that we hear on News of the Weird where somebody gets shot, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
what?
So, Lance, how do you have dogs? And I'd say, yeah, I have a couple dogs. Do you ever throw their poop in someone else's yard? I'd say, no.
No.
Well, a man in Laramie, Wyoming threw his, and the neighbors shot him with a shotgun. Like, whoa, that's what that sounds like.
That's exactly what
that is. Why would you throw
your dog crap into your neighbor's yard?
I know. If you need us to publicly shame him, we will.
We will. Let us have his name. We'll do it.
And we'll call him. We'll ask him why he's doing that.
Bobby, what'd you learn this weekend?
Yeah, I learned that P.J. Walker ain't walking through that door anytime soon. Drill, baby, drill.
Oh, yeah, 4-3 now. Lost 3 straight, and in large part because of quarterback play, he's turned into, well, I didn't see last night, but back-to-back games with pick sixes, he's turned into very schwabby.
That's schobber.
Schobby. Very schobby, which is concerning. Carlos, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
And I learned that both you guys were right. First marriages never work.
Oh, see, man. Well, we're sorry to hear it, but we're not sorry to hear it.
You see, are we not the smartest talk show in the city? Yes, thank you. Finally learned your lesson on that one. That's all right. Your second one is great. The second one is always great. The other Eric. Eric, what'd you learn this weekend?
Along with the theme of marriage, I learned that no matter how stringently you plan your daughter's wedding, that won't keep 2 cases of bottles Shiner bought from blasting all over the floor.
Oh
man.
2 cases. Wow.
That's a lot of beer. I'm curious what happened. How did
it
get like that?
That's a waste of a lot of beer. I'd be sadder if it was Coors Light, but okay.
How do we get like that?
It's beer, though, but if it was Coors Light that shattered all over, I'd be in tears right now.
Yeah, I know you would.
But I'm
especially on Holy Week.
I'm still sad. La raza, ¿qué pasó, mijo?
¿Qué pasó, Juanito G, man? ¿Qué pasó, R.A.?
Quack.
Yeah, no, well, hey, guys, this is what I learned this week. You always bet against Mattress Mac and Five Star. You always get the winners on the
opposite. Five Star's had a rough run.
Yeah.
He had over in the Miami UConn first half. Miami couldn't score. They couldn't shoot. There was no chance. UConn did their part. They did in the second part of the first half. But
I don't know why he likes first halves as opposed to. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. But hey, listen, I was, you know, the rule is go under on the lowest total and go over on the highest total,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to bet?
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
No.
Didn't work out on Saturday.
No.
No, it didn't work out.
No, at all.
At all.
Because, boy, FAU went flying.
Yeah.
Everyone was expecting a lower game. They were making comments about it in so much so that I thought that Bill Raftery had the under.
This
is certainly not the score we were expecting. I'm like, did Bill have the under? Is he giving that out on a show or something?
And then they couldn't give up. They could. Oh my God, the offensive rebounds by San Diego State was just holy crap.
Reset.
On free throws, 5 straight. 5 straight rebounds on free throws. Offensive rebounds. Who's next? It's Julian. What'd you learn this weekend, Julian?
Hey, it's another Uber story, guys. I learned that you're never too old to go clubbing. I picked this 60-year-old up from the club, like, at 1:30. And on the way, she's like, yeah, I'm on the way. Can't wait to see you, Poppy. It's like, God dang.
Never too old, baby.
Never too old. You know what? One day we just need to do a whole segment of Uber stories. Anyone who drives Uber tells their stories.
I'd
do a whole damn show about it.
I'm old. I was at Clay on Thursday night.
You didn't need to be there.
No, I did not.
Because you weren't drinking either.
I brought up the average age tremendously.
Yeah.
Tremendously. I skewed the...
And you weren't even drinking.
No.
Somebody said, whose Popeye is that trying to keep an eye on him?
Right.
I bet his son is alcoholic. He's trying to watch him.
No, I wasn't doing that. I was out. Actually, yeah, we were out.
Were you sad that you didn't have a drink?
I wasn't sad. Actually, I had my wits about me. I was the designated driver.
Did everything seem less fun, good. Though?
Yeah, everything was a lot less fun.
Yeah.
A lot less fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Even the guy... never mind. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Juan. ¿Qué pasó, Juan?
¿Qué pasa? ¿Cómo está todo?
Bien.
I learned that Dusty never got any rest when he played, so he's taking it out on all the Astros.
I know. Dusty played in the time where you played the 162.
Yeah.
That was just what it was.
That's all. Yeah, Dusty. That lineup yesterday. Oh, my gosh. And then he puts Hensley fifth
them the rest.
Instead of Chaz fifth.
He's giving them the rest that he wished he had.
Yeah. Mito. Hey, Mito.
Hey, I learned that you can finesse the White Sox fans at the World Series trophy giveaway, telling them, hey, you know that ain't your squad, man. Give us that trophy, and they'll get the seat.
Well, that sounds like you maybe bullied
them. Oh, yeah, you were bullying. You were bullying, no question. Justin.
Hey, wait. But why should White Sox fans get that trophy? You should give it to an Astros fan.
Oh, yeah.
And the giveaway, the first whatever fans... You don't get those trophies.
You know what? If you're walking in as a White Sox fan, you go, I don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want that.
You
Why would I want
it,
your trophy?
You shouldn't want it as you shouldn't want the trophy. They beat you in the past in the playoff series, the Astros have. Number two,
they beat you on the way there.
As a fan, you should understand the etiquette. Number three, the person giving them out, and granted, they just bang, bang, hand them out, but you should be not, you don't get one.
Yeah.
You should at least look and see if they got White Sox.
Yes, absolutely you should. No, sorry, you don't get one. Well, then there would be lawsuits. I paid for my ticket. I'm one of the first 50,000.
That's true.
Whatever. Justin, what'd you learn this weekend in one sentence?
There just isn't enough drama that you can stir up to get me to really enjoy women's basketball.
It's funny. Somebody said, oh, it's women's basketball. I didn't watch the game, but there was drama, huh? Didn't see that coming. Yeah. Huh. There's a lot. Wait a minute. Wait, stop. Because the NBA.
Yeah.
If you're talking about women's basketball and drama.
Honestly, this has turned into love and basketball. Like, this has turned into real house husbands of the NBA. It is, I know, there is so much drama in the NBA now.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. 713-780-37, that's it. We done. It's a great job again. You guys are great at this. What did you learn this weekend? In one sentence, we'll play it again next week. Good job, people.
I learned that D'Amico. I didn't get to do mine. Oh, I learned that D'Amico Ryan's got a jumper.
You got a jumper?
Yeah.
Where'd he play?
Well, I'll let you watch it right here. D'Amico Ryan's had the opening shot for
the
Rockets
game.
Watch this. Look at our head coach. Step up. Look at this.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Silky.
That wasn't
Wet
a jumper. That was just a free throw. That was.
Did you see the free throw, though?
Yeah, it was perfect for him.
Perfect form. Walked up to it, bounced one, and then the free throw lets the follow through hang a little bit. Nailed it.
No,
everything about. I'm telling you,
you love you some D'Amico.
We have had Lovie Smith, David Culley, and Screamy Screamster.
Yeah,
you know. Before that, we had the quiet guys, the quiet serious guys. I mean, we finally get somebody that's kind of like. Hey,
yeah,
this guy can make a free throw. Could any of those guys make a free throw? David Culley would have done something like a granny shot.
Kubiak was an athlete.
Kubiak could have.
Yeah.
Capers wouldn't have, had never, like, Capers, like, didn't have time.
No,
to
he's
He wouldn't even
Capers
gone to a
been,
game.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Capers was bowed up.
Yeah,
now.
When he was
he had
there.
Some arms.
Yeah, and then, yeah, no, he did. And then Lovie probably could have, he would have bricked it, but he would have had a decent looking
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, no, Lovie probably. A little older now. We'll see. All right, 8 o'clock. Time to talk about basketball. Speaking of basketball, you want to have a good shot? I got a place for you. Pro Dunk. ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com has the best baskets. I don't know why I was I dreaming about this? I think I was dreaming about it. I telling the kid, you gotta raise that goal after. Oh no. I was at Yanni's house. He's got the ProDunk and he's got the kids and all the neighborhood kids are out there playing on it. And you can raise and lower it and it's perfect. I had one at my house. The kids were in our driveway. They were playing. This is where you want to know where your kids are. They're going to be in your driveway, in your backyard, wherever you put up your ProDunk. And they're going to be playing because it's the best goal that you could possibly get. And you can raise and lower it. And they will love it because they can dunk. These kids had the goal lower than their chin. And they just want to dunk, Dad. That's all they want to do. But also, the little kids, they can't reach a 10-foot goal. So you want to be able to raise and lower it. You can also, if you would like, you could put it up on in your garage. You can put it on the roof. They'll mount it, whatever the case may be. But the best way to do it is get the one that you can raise and lower so that the kids can really enjoy it. Dad, you want the best goal in the market, period, exclamation point. There is one way to go. ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com.
This is ESPN 97.5.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.